This is William Otten, and I'll be reading Drop Off, published in the Sandy River Review, December 2015. And when she repeats the lyrics, humming them at first, hiding them from the ghostly teens, walking in front of our table, then letting them fall from her glossy lips when we're alone again, some crates of sugar beets are being unpacked from the back of an old pickup truck in front of the cafe across the street. And the coven of goth kids, dressed in various expressions of black and faded faces, has finished drifting past us, just like she whispers in tune, the vampires heading west down Ventura Boulevard. And it's spring in the capital, and the revolution hyped for months has lost steam and hasn't freed us or anyone inside or outside of it, and hasn't seeped into any other parts of our lives other than the local food movement, which continues to be a rare treat for us when we can afford it. And she watches the adolescent undead shuffle to the other side of the street, and lying her cloth napkin in her lap, she stalls on Reseda and asks me where it is. And I say I don't know, but we should find it on a map during one of her many searches and go there and have a meal that includes a milkshake, just because. And she wants to know when, and I say soon, this summer maybe, whenever we can, just because. And she laughs, wanting to know if the vampires on Pacific time are somehow worse or different or the same than the vampires here on Atlantic time, where we sit and wait in the breeze amongst the bulbs starting to burst from the green hedges and slices of grass that have shaken off the last of the snowfall, everything coming up and rising again a little later than normal. And I have no answer for her, but what I do have for her is what we both have, time, though it's not as green as when we first met, and yet it is green, covered in films of green, like the memorials to heroes and their horses along the avenue here, patina and ivy creeping over them, and I say, let's go. Let's just go. Let's stop talking about it, as though it's a repeatable sacrament, as though time is different in different places, along different coasts, slower and golden, like honey dripped across a tongue. And so we say California, as though it's still the place to be, as though it's one of the few myths freely given to us to contest, the door at which so much can be laid down, two lives brought to the threshold, not all at once, but over time, piece by piece. And she says we're naive that the West Coast is immune to what's unfolding around us, the quick fire responses of everyone pointing out what's wrong day after day, our Polaris lost, how it all used to be, the media so full of daily death and dollar bills that you have to scroll so fast past the buckshot of it all in order to see the smaller stars that let down some light. But we both say that it's money that keeps us from moving, that money is a weight greater than death while you're living. And she says the snow was too much for her joints and back this past winter, and that she wants to run year-round. And I say the food grown out there needs only two seasons, sun or rain, and that we can have what we'll be eating now plated in front of us when it's rotated back in quicker than it can be shipped here. And maybe we should go sooner rather than later, because the storm clouds off the coast will be packing their darkness tighter and tighter, deepening the dark mass upon the dark mass, and we want to go here and here before the hurricane seasons hit, the names of so many places free-falling out into days that have become so divided because of oppositional sides. She says we wouldn't be the first to do that, to go out there, but that we could be next, not escaped, not just go as visitors or stop by as tourists, but to stay, get lost in it. A test of letting the compass spin in place for just a little bit, just long enough to say that we were there, near the ocean, and its perpetual promise that dropping off behind it remains the illusion of the end of the world.